Good to see everyone this morning. Good to have our visitors with us. If you will, turn your songbooks to 226. I'm going to cut them down a little bit. I'm going to sing the first two and last verse. A bad cough. 226. There is much to do. There's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for weepers. I must act and be. What will thou, O Master? Here am I, send thee. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. There the flame, the cry of mourning souls distressed, and the sigh of hearts who seek to find no rest. Thee should have my love and tender sympathy, ready at thy bidding, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, ready at thy bidding, Lord, send me. There are souls who on the brink of woe, Lord, I must, I cannot bear to let them go. Let me go and tell them, brother, turn and flee. Master, I would save them, here am I, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. Please stand. Our dear God and Father, which art in heaven, we are so thankful unto you for the beautiful day you've created and given us, for the ones who've come this morning to hear more about your word of truth. Help us all be strong in the truth here at New Lex Church of Christ. Make sure everything's being taught is from the word. Also, God, we ask you to be with the sick. There's so many on the prayer list. Please be with them. Be with Dave Hall today and help him who had surgery, recovering, help him get stronger. And be with Rosa, his wife and family. Bonnie's going through a lot for breathing problems. Help her get well. So many, God, on the prayer list. Thank you for our visitors this morning who've come. We pray they'll come back. God, be with us as we worship this morning. Help us worship in spirit and truth. Glorify your name. And if there's any here who never been baptized for forgiveness of sins, that they'd have that desire today in their heart. Thank you, Father, and forgive us in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from John. Gospel John, chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Please turn to 254. I think this psalm maybe goes along with that verse. 254. And God's word is telling us that we need to work in his kingdom, in the church, don't we? Need to be busy. 254.
Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Coming when man's work is done. their bright hands are glowing. Work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam faded, faded to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is
old. We have Mark pass out a outline of the lesson today. 5:59, Tom, for the invitation song. You might mark that as well while you have time here while I'm trying to set this up. We are going to be looking at a sermon by Don Blackwell today. I'll speak about it in just a moment here. I've waited to set this up. Usually I'm setting it up. It won't work. I'm going to try to do it real quick here altogether, and we'll see if this works better. If it doesn't, I'll keep trying different things till we get that where it comes up right away. It should. We have trouble with that. There are things that may be with the technology here that we may have to change. If you notice, the title of this is Technology, Is It Hurting God's People? And this has been a concern, I know, as we've been building the technology room. The elders are here to oversee things, and it's something that's been in our minds, you know, what is the right way to do this? And we've been very fortunate to have Jared. He knew his goal in this and what he set up, that this was for the purpose of bringing God's word out to other places in the world. That was our only purpose. That's what we've tried to stick to with this, that we're promoting God's word in places probably, and make it very convenient with people that have the internet. But we always want to consider, you know, what is the right way to do this and what's best. In this video, and Don Blackwell and his team's been working on this for quite a while. I heard a good while ago that this was going to come out. And it's just recently come out in the last week, and it talks about the good and the bad that technology brings, and some things that we have to be careful over. I think back the way I would think about this. On my iPhone yesterday, there was a pop-up come on there, and it said, "To err is human, but if you want to really mess things up, get a computer." So, I guess that's saying something about technology. Those of us that are older, I said I'd never get a cell phone, but because of some of the things in COVID where we cut off from people and everything, I did get a cell phone. And Don talks about the technology he uses in this. But we're the ones, we have that law of liberty, which we're studying about on Wednesday night. We're the ones that decides what's the good and the bad. And how do we do that? We look to the Word of God and the things we're doing, and we promote that. And that's the important thing here. So I think this looks like it's going to go today. Hopefully it does. You have the outline. You can follow right along with that. And this is kind of a self-examination lesson. We have to, at the end here, we have to think about what we're doing. And he breaks this down into four different parts. And each part starts with an M, if you notice. The first one's on minutes. So it's very well done. Don is a preacher for the World Video Bible School. He's been there quite a while, and they have quite a team down there. So that is in Maxwell, Texas. So it's good that we can get these excellent preachers. He also is the director of the Gospel Broadcasting Network, so we know of the Church of Christ. So let me see if I can get this going now. Looks like it's going to go fine.
Do you believe that technology is hurting God's people? You might immediately respond and say, no, of course not. Technology is good. Think about the Bible software we have and the ability to stream sermons and evangelize through social media and on and on and on we go. You know, for the last 18 years, I have worked with World Video Bible School and the Gospel Broadcasting Network, which are both organizations that use technology to reach the world with the gospel. The point that I'm making is technology in and of itself is not bad. In fact, the way we are using it is very, very good. We've got thousands of videos online that teach the truth of God's Word. We have free online commentaries. We have Bible correspondence courses that people can take that are instantly graded on our website. We have tracts and articles, and we're having baptisms regularly as a result of the work that we're doing. I believe that God has providentially allowed us to develop all of these incredible means of modern technology so that we can reach people with the gospel. In fact, on the day of judgment, if the Lord were to ask us, "Why did you not take the gospel to the entire world?" we might be tempted to say, "Well, Lord, there were 8 billion people. We couldn't possibly reach them all." To which He might respond, "Why didn't you use the technology that I gave you? Why didn't you use the internet and smartphones and social media and all of the devices that were always connected?" Friends, I don't believe that God has allowed us the modern technology that we have just so that we can binge watch Hulu. I believe we have it so that we can use it for good. But you see, there's a problem. The problem is the devil also knows how to use technology, and he is very good at it. Now, personally, I love technology. I have an iPhone and an iPad and an Apple Watch and a MacBook Pro and an iMac. In fact, this chair that I'm sitting in is an amazing piece of technology that allows me to climb stairs. It allows me to be at an eye-level height. It allows me to do many things that I could not do if it weren't for this. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I do is I reach over and I turn off the alarm on my iPhone. Then I pick up my phone and I check my text messages and my emails and my Facebook and look at the morning news. Then I open the app and adjust the air conditioning that's in my house. I tell Alexa to turn on the lamp, and that's all before I even get out of the bed. In fact, all of the modern technology has really helped me as a paraplegic. The modern life, the modern world is completely intertwined with technology. Now, before I get to the meat of this lesson, let me define my terms. When I'm talking about technology, I'm referring to things like smartphones, tablets, the internet, television, movies, the media, all of the high-tech delivery devices that we use to communicate, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, YouTube, etc. All of these things have brought some great things to us, but they've also brought us some new challenges. When my wife and I got married 30-plus years ago, I didn't even know anyone who had a cell phone. I didn't know anyone who owned a computer. I'd never heard of the internet. I'd never heard of email. My point is that these are all relatively new things in our society, and they have brought challenges. Is technology hurting God's people? I want us to consider 4 points in the next several minutes. The first point I have simply labeled as minutes. Minutes. I've started all of these with the letter M. Minutes. What do I mean by that? I'm referring to our time. Technology is a huge time sucker. A while back, Facebook started showing these little short videos. I think they call them TikTok videos. And very rapidly, they learn what you like to watch. And so if you like basketball, it's going to start showing you basketball videos. I'm embarrassed to say, but I always like to watch cat videos. And so it's extremely addictive. They'll show you one after another after another. And one day I was watching them, and they're short. It seems like you're not wasting much time. And I realized I had wasted a couple of hours, and I had absolutely nothing to show for it. You know, I've had times where I sit back and I realize I am just wasting time that I could do something good. You know, in John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said this, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work." Jesus was saying, I've got work that I have been put here to do. I've got to stay on task. I've got to manage my time. I cannot allow myself to become distracted so that I don't accomplish my mission. And friends, most of social media does exactly that. I want you to think with me for a minute. Can you imagine the time that would be regained if every Christian in the world would lay aside all the social media for one day and instead use that time to study the Word of God or evangelize? What if we did that for 1 week? What if we did it for a month? You know, I think about Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, where the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does that mean? It's a very interesting phrase. Redeeming carries with it the idea of getting it back, taking grasp of it because it is slipping away from us. And the idea that the days are evil, well, God created the days, but the idea is that time can slip away from us. We might use it for evil, but we've got to redeem it, buy it back. Have you ever started a day with a list of grand things that you intended to accomplish, but you got to the end of the day and you realize you have gotten nothing done and you don't know where the time went? Forbes.com said that in 2021, the average American spent 3.5 hours per day on social media. That is more than 1,300 hours in a year. Now think about that. That amounts to 25 hours a week. What if you were to redeem that time, regain that time? That would give you a full additional day per week. In fact, if you think about a workday, 8-hour workday, that would be 3 additional workdays. It said that Facebook led the way with 58 minutes per day. Now, let's just do some basic math. If an average person begins using social media at the age of 13, and probably younger than that, but let's say he continues using social media until he dies at the age of 79. Here's the breakdown. Over a lifespan, that is nearly 10 years of total time using social media. Now, for comparison's sake, one company gave this information. They said the total time we spend watching TV is 7 years and 8 months. They say the time we spend eating and drinking is 3 years and 5 months. The time we spend grooming, 1 year and 10 months. Socializing, 1 year and 3 months. Doing laundry, 6 months. I know it seems longer on the laundry, but that's what they say. What that means is this. The average person will spend more time in his life on social media than doing laundry, socializing, and grooming put together. He will spend more time than he spends eating and drinking. Do you think that we're being distracted by technology? Presently, the average person spends nearly 12% of his life on social media. Now, I want you to consider how many people will say, I don't have time to study the Bible. I don't have time to memorize Scripture. I don't have time to conduct Bible studies. Maybe it's because we're being distracted. Common Sense Media found that overall screen use time amongst teens and tweens increased by 17% in the last few years. On average, they said daily screen use amongst tweens, and I didn't even know what a tween was, but that is ages 8 to 12. They say that on average, the time had increased to 5 hours and 33 minutes per day. For teens, it had increased to 7 hours and 22 minutes per day, and that's age 13 to 18. Years ago, I heard a preacher tell a story that he was teaching a class on stewardship, and he suggested that it would be a good thing when you're thinking about your giving to the Lord, to the church, that you let 10% be the beginning point. And he said there was an elderly lady in the class, and probably in her 80s, and she raised her hand and said, may I ask a question? And he said, certainly. She said, we always suggest that we give 10% of our money to the Lord. Why don't we suggest the same thing with regard to our time? That's interesting, isn't it? Let's think about that in suggestion to how we spend our time. There are 168 hours in a week. So 10% rounded off would be 17 hours a week. Let's say that a man were to read his Bible and pray for a total of 1 hour a day. That would be a total of 7 hours for the week. Let's say that that same man attends all of the services of the church, Sunday morning Bible class, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship, midweek worship, and one other function for the church, maybe a fellowship meal, training class, whatever it might be. That would be 5 more hours, and that would bring the total to 12 hours. Let's say that that same Christian man gets off work at 4 p.m. every day. On Monday, he goes and visits the nursing home for 1 hour. Tuesday, he goes to the hospital and he visits for 1 hour. On Wednesday, he maybe goes and visits anyone who's visited the church, who's come to services, for 1 hour. Thursday, he visits the unfaithful in the community for 1 hour. When that man gets through with all of that, he will still have 90% of his time left. People say, we couldn't do that. We don't have time. We're already doing more than that with regard to the time spent on social media. The first point is minutes. The second point is morality. Now, the question is social media, is technology hurting God's people? Think about morality. I want you to think first about homosexuality. Has homosexuality gained ground in the last few years? Of course, the answer is yes. In 1988, statistics say that only 11% of Americans were in favor of homosexual marriage, gay marriage. In 2023, 71% are in favor of homosexual marriage. We went from 11% to 71% in a relatively short amount of time. You know, now the month of June is celebrated in our country as what they call Pride Month. And if you use streaming television such as Netflix or Hulu or Disney or any of those things, you're going to see a whole section dedicated to homosexual, lesbian, gay, transgender programs. They're pushing it very aggressively. In fact, Disney, in the last couple of years, they came out and said, we're not even being secretive about it anymore. Now, the majority of Americans believe that if a person is gay, they believe he is born gay or lesbian. Why is that? Why do they believe that? And the answer is the media has done a good job of spinning that lie. It's what you read on Facebook. On my iPhone, if you swipe to the far left, there's a section where it will give you a news feed. It's the latest of what's going on in the world. The problem is the choices of options for news are all liberal, biased. They push immorality, including homosexuality. You know, it seems like no matter what television program you try to watch nowadays, they're always going to have a homosexual on it. And the homosexual is always smart and a reasonable, caring person, and those who oppose it are always haters and bigots. You see, the devil is using technology to brainwash us. Millennials support homosexual marriage at a rate of 83%. That's extremely high. Why? Because the media has turned up the heat in the last 20 or 30 years, and it has worked. When it comes to pornography, technology has done tremendous damage. It has contributed to an absolute epidemic. Years ago, if someone wanted to view pornography, they had to go and they had to buy it. They had to find a place where they could get it. They would walk in and they ran the risk that someone would see them. And so there was kind of a built-in inhibition. But it's not that way anymore because of technology. The internet has made it so that people can view pornography in the privacy of their homes and no one will ever know about it. At least that's what they think. A few years ago, there was a man in my neighborhood. He knew I was a preacher, and he came to me. He was asking for help because his wife had repeatedly caught him looking at pornography on his smartphone. And he said his marriage was just in shambles. It was about to fall apart because of this. And I hear that sort of thing on a regular basis. According to research, approximately two-thirds of U.S. men now view pornography at least monthly. When it comes to a regular breakdown of this, if you look at the 18 to 30 age group, they say that 79% of them are viewing pornography. In the 31 to 49 group, 67% of them, ages 50 to 68, 50%. The study said that 30% of young men in the 18 to 30 age group view pornography every single day. And I tell you, social media has contributed to this, even Facebook. Now, someone says, Facebook doesn't allow pornography. It allows some things that are very, very immodest, very close. And when a young man sees this and it gets the wheels turning in his mind, think about what the devil has done using technology in the realm of entertainment. The devil's done a good job using movies and television. And again, he makes us think that homosexuality is normal, it's acceptable, it's reasonable. Through the movies, the devil gives us storylines of the persecuted gay person and makes us have sympathy for that. The devil has us rooting for the adulterous relationship. He has us hoping that the thief is not going to get caught. You see, the devil is successfully breaking down walls through the use of technology. A few years ago, I was visiting a friend in Texas, and I had gone into his house for lunch. In his living room, next to the TV, he had a sign that said, "How dare we be entertained by the things that sent Jesus to the cross?" Isn't that a good thought? You know, when it comes to technology and our entertainment, we need to keep that in our minds. Now, here is a third thing that has hurt us in the realm of technology, and that is misinformation. The New York Times had an article that said that, quote, experts are worried because social media platforms are filled with misinformation. They say that young people have no idea what's real and what's fake. Forbes.com says whether it is about the presidential election, climate change, or COVID-19 vaccines, misinformation continues to spread rampantly across social media. According to a Pew Research Service study from January of that year, they say more than 8 in 10 U.S. adults, in fact, 86%, said that they get their news, you ready, from their smartphone. Where do they get their news? They get it from social media on their smartphone. North Carolina State University did a peer-reviewed study that is supposed to have credibility. It's been examined. And this study said that unmistakably they had exposed big tech's most egregious attempt to tilt the scale toward left-wing candidates. What does that mean? What they were saying is they had determined that big tech was using social media, was using the media in general to push their candidates, and that it was working. In fact, the same article talks about how Democratic leaders tried to persuade tech companies to limit certain information before the Roe versus Wade decision came out. And so the devil is using technology. top sources that people go to get their information, of course, Google. A large percentage of Americans are using Facebook as their main source for news. Both of these are filled with liberal media bias. And so if your child is getting their news this way, they're going to be in trouble. Imagine this. Imagine taking a new Christian or taking a child and letting them spend 5 to 7.5 hours a day just reading false doctrine, false information. Would that affect them? Would it affect their view of the world? Would it affect their Bible knowledge? Of course it would. In fact, a mature Christian would be hurt by feeding his mind on that. You see, we need to be teaching the truth biblically and scientifically and politically and socially and sexually and morally, because if our young people are not getting the truth from us and they're getting their information from social media, it is going to be severely skewed. Now, somebody says, yeah, but there are fact checkers who examine this information to be sure that it is accurate. The problem is the fact checkers are also very biased in the things they're putting out. Imagine if a young person is getting his information about politics from these very biased liberal sources. What if he's getting his information about religion and the Bible or abortion, the election, COVID? You know, several years ago when COVID was taking place, if you didn't agree with what the government was saying, then it was labeled as false information. And a few months later, it would be we'd be told it's the truth. Here's the fourth point. It's the word mission. Now, what do I mean by mission? What I mean is modern technology is hurting us when it comes to our mission. And by that, I mean our objective. Why are we here? Why did God put us on this earth? I've got a limited amount of time on this earth. What should I be doing with that time? Here's the answer. It's Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's the King James rendering, but it's so beautifully worded. So, what is our purpose in life according to that verse? Our purpose is to bring pleasure to God. Listen to this verse, Ecclesiastes 12:13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." The word duty has actually been added. It's not in the original. The original says, "Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole of man." I like that better. That means this is what man is all about. This is my all. And so if I fail to do that, I have missed my purpose. I may graduate the top of my class and get a PhD and be a respected academic scholar, but if I fail to fear God and keep His commandments, I've missed my purpose. I might build a huge, successful company and retire as a billionaire, but if I fail to fear God and keep His commandments, my life has been a waste. I could find a cure for cancer, but if I fail to do this, I have missed my purpose. I heard a story about a man who was a watchmaker during the Civil War, and he got drafted into the war, and his unit was positioned in a certain place. They were placed there, and they were to wait until they were called to duty, and so they were there for weeks. During the downtime while they were waiting, many people found out he was a watchmaker, and they started bringing their watches to him for him to repair them. Well, eventually, they received their orders to go into battle, and the watchmaker said, "I can't possibly go into battle. I've got too many watches to repair." You see, he had forgotten why he was there. I believe our modern technology sometimes has made us forget why we are here. I believe that we have a generation of people who has come to believe that their greatest purpose in life is to be entertained all the time. And to that end, we've got smartphones, and they're loaded with music and movies and games, and we've got our tablets, and they're linked to Hulu and Netflix and Amazon Prime, and the majority of American houses now have streaming services. Our cars have, some of them still have DVD players and XM satellite radio and Bluetooth and Pandora and Spotify. And in our homes, we've got Xbox and PlayStation and a Dish Network and cable TV, every streaming service available. According to Nielsen stats, the average American adult is watching 5 hours and 4 minutes a day of television. The bulk of that is on HD TVs. 94% of Americans, they say, have them. Some of it we watch on our tablets. The majority of American homes have them. They say that the average household now watches an entire season of a television show. You ready for this? In 5 days. We call it binge watching. Entire season in 5 days. I don't know how we could look at the number of hours that are spent watching TV, playing with technology, and argue that we are not being distracted from our mission. I want you to do something for me. I want you to think about this. Just answer the question to yourself. How many hours have I spent this week in prayer? If it's hours. How many hours have I spent this week in Bible study? If it's hours. How many hours have I spent in attendance at worship? How many hours have I spent teaching others and in evangelism? In Luke 19:10, Jesus said that his mission was to seek and to save the lost. And if I'm a Christian, if I'm a part of the church of Christ that he purchased with his blood, my mission as his body is the same as his, as the head of the body. John 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night is coming when no man can work. That is to say, I've got a mission, I've got work to do, and I've got a limited amount of time to do it. At one point in the life of Jesus, a lawyer came to him and asked him the question, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus responded that you should love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and the great commandment, Matthew 22, 36 through 38. May we never let our technology or anything else cause us to lose sight of that goal.
As we're listening to that, the things that we are into, it mentions one thing about Facebook, the time on the Facebook, and some of these, YouTube's another one, where we can spend all this time. But that's what we're seeing here with what we can do with the technology. If people are on Facebook all the time, we're on Facebook. If they're using Spotify, we're on there with the Word of God. So we're reaching out in places where people that may not have any contact with religion, the Word of God, Christianity, anything, they're going to be able to get that. Now, I know some of you do not have the internet, and I realize that, but I'm thinking right now maybe what I should do some night, maybe on a Thursday night or Tuesday night, come up here and we'll meet together and we'll go over some of the things that we've been broadcasting, maybe a couple podcasts, looking at the quick questions that we send out. These are about the Bible, trying to spread the Word of God through that media. So that's the way we're trying to reach out with this. I was thinking about with me and the things I went through, and I know if you're around my age, most of you are going to be younger, but it was intimidating to get into these things, and it still is. A lot of things that I do are, they take so long. Spend sometimes days, hours on them, and if I had been trained in that, I could do it way much faster, more efficiently, and probably better. I think back to a time when I was working, I had a new computer, I was working on it, trying to learn it and doing some things, and my granddaughter was there, and she was well-educated. She just finished kindergarten, and I was trying to do this and that, and she's sitting there watching beside of me. And a little bit says, Grandma pushed this and this. And what I was trying to do took two buttons, and she knew that in kindergarten. So that's how the children today are being educated in computers and things. It's just going to be so common with them. They're going to be very sophisticated in it and be able to do it very well. So that's why we need to be in the area of media for the bad things that are going on there. You've got the Word of God if they want to reach that out. Now, I'll keep that in mind. Maybe we can set a night where we can do that. If you don't have the internet, then maybe we'll have a night where we look at what we've got here so far. If you're not able to see that, we can put it up on the screens. See, I'm looking for a certain thing here that worked on. As an example of this, I'm going to use this to take and give an invitation, and it's a tradition in the Church of Christ that each time we meet together that we'd give an invitation for those that would want to obey the gospel. It is a good thing to do. We may do it as tradition. I think it's a good thing, and we should be doing it. We also had to keep in mind that that invitation actually from Christ is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some have said this is the most important question that you'll ever be asked. What must I do to be saved? I was thinking probably if that's the most important question, your decision is probably the most important decision that you would ever make in your life. What are you going to do when you hear the gospel of Christ, and will you obey it? Or will you decide not to? That's what we were talking about this morning in Bible study. We have the liberty in Christ. We were made in the image of God, and that we have free will to decide what we want to do. But we have to make that decision every time we're faced with the gospel of Christ. I put this together, and this took me, like I say, I learned by trial and error, and it took a good while to do it. But I want you to notice how quickly I can present these scriptures from the Word of God about what the gospel is, how quickly I can put them up. You can read the exact Word of God from the technology very quickly, and we can do this in just a few minutes here and see how quickly. If I didn't have this technology and had the Bible, we could do the same thing, but it would take much longer. So you see the advantages that we can do some good things with technology, and it is worth using. So let me see if I can get this on full screen. I'll try to do that. I'm not sure that I've got that. That's fine. What must I do to be saved? And that was what was asked at the very first time the gospel was preached in Acts chapter 2. What must I do to be saved? Now, there is in the Old Testament a scripture that reads about the entirety. We need to know the entirety of the Word of God. Today, many of the religions are just teaching part of it. They say it's optional, and it is not. So only look at some of these verses very quickly. In Psalms 119, 160, it reads, "The entirety of your word is truth." So we have to look at everything that's mentioned in the New Testament to know exactly what the gospel is. "And every one of your righteous judgments," that's God's judgment, "endures forever." In Acts chapter 20 and verse 26 through 27, Paul the apostle, the inspired apostle, was telling the elders there, I believe at Ephesus, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Why is he innocent of it? "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole gospel of God." Some versions read all the gospel of God. So we need to look at that when we're deciding what the gospel of Christ is and what we'd have to do to obey it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in verse 21, "Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good." How do you prove it? You look into the scriptures and read the Word of God. So the first thing that we notice in the New Testament is hearing the Word of God. So it has to be someone that's willing to listen to the Word of God. In Romans 10:14, it reads, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" So you have to be willing to hear the Word of God. God wants you to know what you're doing and why you're doing it. In Romans 10:17, this was Paul's writing to the Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know that we have to listen to the word of God. Once you listen to that word of God, do you believe it? Are you willing to do something about it? So that's faith. That you had to have some faith in that. In John 1:12, it reads, but as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them he gave the power to become. They're not Christians yet. The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Many teach this, that you believe and you're a Christian. If you notice here, it says the power to become. In other words, you're learning and you're getting closer to what you need to do to be saved. The second thing that's taught in the New Testament scriptures is repent. That's just a change in your life. You begin a new life in Christ once you've obeyed the gospel. Acts 17, verse 30, it reads, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So it is a commandment of God and of Christ. Confession is in the gospel of Christ. We have to confess what we believe, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So if we look at Romans 10:10, there's the scripture for it, the inspired word of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made. Notice I've got the word unto underlined, unto salvation. Again, the many of the religions teach that once you repent of it, you believe, you're saved. This says unto it. You're getting closer to it, but you're not into the gospel of Christ. You're not into Christ yet. And that is the way the scriptures teach it. You won't see that on television or in most religions. Next, it talks about baptism. This is another one that is taught wrong, and baptism is a burial. And we find that in Romans chapter 6 and in water. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. In other words, that explains that very well. And who said this? Christ. This was the words of Christ. And then we want to remember, as Christians, we have to remain faithful unto God until death. And that is Revelations 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That very quickly is an introduction of what the gospel of Christ is. If you do not have a full understanding of that, we can teach you that. There's several people here that can teach it. It's so that you know what you're doing when you become a child of God. Those are the steps: hearing, believing, repenting of your sin, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being baptized in water, buried with Christ. Did that in about 5 minutes, a little longer than I thought it was going to be, but I wanted you to see how quickly you'd do that. That would have taken a much, much longer if we had a Bible study and sat down and turned the pages and things. That's what technology can do. So you have the choice today. If you're here and not a Christian, you have a decision to make. What must I do to be saved? If you understand that, then this is a good time to do it. If you don't understand it, we'd be willing to teach more. You could become a Christian. We want everyone to understand that any time of the day or night. And we've got that out on our podcast and things, the information on our bulletin as well. Holly puts the phone numbers of the elders. You could contact us at any time for that. So if you will, stand and sing. 559, Tom. 559. Please stand.
First two and last verse, please.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily?
Sweet pair of minds, take Lord's Supper. We'll sing 176. 176. Why did my Savior come to earth?
Does anybody need the Lord's Supper? If you do, we'll get you one. Okay. If not, we surround this table. We come and we surround this table and remember what Christ did up on the cross. You know, just like in the song that we just sang. You know, the Lord, it says, why did the Savior come to the earth? Because he loved us so much. You know, and he endured so much for us. Just like in the lesson that we studied this morning, talked about minutes and things to do. You know, the scripture's given to us. You know, it's like we talked in our Bible study this morning. God gave us all that. He gave us all the scripture so we know what we need to do. It tells us in the scriptures we're to go and do this upon the first day of the week and to partake of the emblems in remembrance of what Christ did for us upon the cross. I like to turn to Luke chapter 24, in verses 22 through 25. And I did what I just told you there. I put down verse 20, chapter 22, and I marked it for chapter 22. But we're in verse 14. It talks about us that we're to come and to partake of the emblems. And we're to do that upon the first day of the week. And just like in verse, like I said, chapter 14, and starting with verse 22. And that is 22. I'm sorry. It is chapter 22. It's verses 14 through 20. And when the hour has come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, drink any more there until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after the supper, saying, this is the cup, the New Testament, in my blood, which is shed for you. You know, like I said, we're to do this upon the first day of the week. Just like we learned in this morning from the video that we had for this, that we talked about minutes, our mission. And it talks about all the technology that we have. This is one thing that we need to do, make sure that we do, for up on the first day of the week, every week. The emblems that we have, the bread represents his body that was taken up on the cross. And the fruit of the vine represents the blood that he shed upon the cross for all of us. Let's go to God in prayer and give thanks for the bread. Our Father in heaven, we like to thank you for letting us be able to come and surround this table and remember what Christ did for us upon the cross. Bless this bread for its intended purpose. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to God and continue our thanks for the fruit of the vine. Our Father in heaven, we like to continue our thanks of remembering and knowing what Christ did for us when he went to the cross. Be with us as we go partake of the fruit of the vine, represents his blood that he shed for all of us. All this in Jesus' name. Amen. Separate and apart of partaking of the emblems is the offering. And the offering goes toward the work of the church. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we know that everything that we have and we've received, and we know it comes all from you. By looking around and looking out in nature, we know that it came from you. Be with us as we begin to give back what we've been prospered for the work of the church. All this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, church. We've got a pretty day out there today. And it's just for us and everyone else. A few announcements this morning. Like I said, we still have a lot of sick people. We need to get everybody better. Make sure you get a bulletin. A lot of information in there. We have it's almost the whole page of sick people, which is not good, but you know, hopefully they all get better and get feeling better. One thing I'll announce now, on Dave Hall, Dave is still in ICU in Columbus. He is getting better. He's better than he was yesterday. They are going to do a CT scan and more blood work. He might be getting into a regular room today, hopefully. Rosa also texts that they love and miss all of us. Please continue to keep them in your prayers. On April 12th, Golden Acres will be coming up. That's New Concord. like I said, there's several things in here. Just get a bulletin and take a look at it. One thing, I know this is from Jared. Next Thursday is the first day of spring, which is good. The first of a dozen or so new interviews for our podcast, which the March 20th we begin. Jim's interview with Alicia, I'm not sure about her last name. She's the director down at Southeastern Ohio Food Bank. Others include Keely Warren from Christ's Table, Roger Chaffin from World Bible School. There's quite a few on this new spring podcast will be coming up on the 20th. And if the weatherman knows what he's talking about, next Sunday it's going to be 70 degrees. Let's hope he knows what he's talking about for a change. Is there anything that I should know about, don't know about, anything else needs announced? If not, Brother Tyler's going to lead us in closing prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come together, congregate, study your word, and sing these songs unto you. God, we ask you to be with those that continue to deal with various health illnesses, those that have test procedures and surgeries coming up, those that have lost loved ones. God, we also ask you to be with Brother Dave and Rosa as Dave recovers from his heart surgery. Please be with him, give him strength that maybe he will have a speedy recovery. God, please be with us as we go our separate ways, that we're able to continue to walk in the heavenly light, that we're able to reach others, others can see us in you, or you in us, and that we're able to reach others, help them come to the church, and help your congregation go. All these things we ask you is in Jesus' name, amen.